Earth and Sky.
Okay, so the appeal of nanotechnology is that the size of it means that you can create products that are unobtrusive, that can produce a lot of information and store a lot of information, and can be done at very low cost. The problem, the privacy problem, is that this technology can be used without people knowing it.
That was Anita Allen, professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania. You're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast. I'm Jeremy Scheer, and I spoke to Allen about her participation on a panel of experts who discussed nanotechnology. That panel is being televised as part of a new Fred-friendly seminar series on public television stations in 2008. The televised series title is Nanotechnology, The Power of Small.
What would you say were the two or three most interesting or central points that were made during that discussion?
The Power of Small privacy panel dealt with some very interesting scenarios involving applications of nanotechnology. One scenario, for example, involved a couple of brothers whose dad had Alzheimer's. And the question was, should you put a bracelet with nanotechnology in it on dad's arm so when he disappears into the world, we can find him? And that's a great example of the seductiveness and sneakiness of nanotechnology. On the one hand, you could, without even Dad knowing it, you could implant the technology, under his skin or in a bracelet on his wrist. On the other hand, it's very nice to think that we would be able to reap these sort of medical and social benefits by using the technology. So it's very attractive.
Well, what's on the other side of the coin? What's the downside possibility?
So a person could have nanotechnology slipped into their handbag or under their skin or into their drink, and then it's in their body. So that's a problem. Another problem with nanotechnology that relates to privacy is that nanotechnology will have the capacity someday to store volumes of information unimaginable today. I mean, today we think that our laptops and our PCs can store so much information, but the potential for unlimited storage is what nanotechnology offers. And with more information storage, the more the risk of security breaches, data breaches, and both the intentional type, like hacking into a system, or the unintentional type, like accidentally uploading data, all that stuff raises privacy problems that nanotechnology will only make more severe.
You know, during the panel, you mentioned at one point that this increased capacity for data storage and for sort of tracking people in ways that we haven't done before would force us to reconsider the terms and conditions of the unwritten social contract. Can you say more about that?
Right now, there are a set of expectations that we all have. We have expectations of privacy. We know that when we go into a restaurant, we risk certain kinds of disclosures and not others. We know that when we go to a hospital, we risk certain kinds of disclosures and not others. And people who are civil abide by the rules of privacy, the conventions of privacy, the social practices of privacy. Well, every time a new technology is introduced, you have the tendency of people to pursue that technology in ways which may be incompatible with the previous understanding of how you respect privacy. So now you might well have your son or daughter ring you on their cell phone every hour when they're out at night. And being asked to ring your parents on your cell phone and have them be able to see your cell phone number pop up on the caller ID, that's a privacy issue. We're kind of comfortable with that now. But suppose your parents could put a tiny nano device without your knowing it into your pocket, or could have you swallow a cup of chocolate before you left the house that would have some sort of traceable nanotechnology in it. Well, now the rules have changed. Now the former understanding that I will call you now means I can find out where you are even if you don't call me. So the rules have changed and people's expectations have been violated. And while you may say, well, what's so bad about breaching expectations, it turns out that our entire way of life is premised on the ability to know what to expect, right? We don't want to offend other people. We don't want to breach a common and shared expectations. And our whole value system is pieced together by expectations and civility rules.
You know, I'm sure that laws governing social interaction and protecting personal freedoms have always had to react to advances in technology and such. how have our laws been changing or reacting so far when confronted by things like nanotechnology and other monitoring technologies?
The right to privacy was born in the United States in the late 19th century, and the technology that got it all started was the camera and the ability of photographers to take pictures of people who weren't posing. You know, instantaneous photography wasn't around until the late 19th century. And with instantaneous photography came the capacity to go on the streets and take pictures of people and then use their pictures to sell boxes of flour or insurance or whatever it is you were in the market for selling. Well, in that case, the new technology bred an interest among lawyers in creating a legal remedy for people whose privacy was taken in that way. Another technology, early technology, which led to privacy rights was the technology which allows newspapers to be mass produced and to include photographs in newspaper. Because once that happened, it allowed lots and lots of information to be cheaply distributed throughout society, and facts about people that were formerly obscure were now not so obscure, well known by a growing literate population. So we had photography and newspaper printing. Then we had eavesdropping technologies that came along with telephones. And with all these technologies came new needs. It's not surprising that right now a lot of our national privacy laws respond to technologies. We have laws that relate to the telephone and wiretapping and trap and trace devices and all kinds of technologies, computers, because it's well recognized that technologies can make it easier for us to get access to conversation, to images of people, to words and thoughts that were formerly inaccessible. And nanotechnology simply is another kind of invention which will in the future potentially make it easier for us to overhear conversations, locate people on the globe, transmit data about people, capture data about people, and put it to purposes which they themselves may or may not consent to.
That was Anita Allen, a professor of law and philosophy at the University of Pennsylvania. This special Clear Voices for Science podcast was produced in cooperation with ICANN Productions and the Fred Friendly Seminars, with funding from the Department of Energy and the National Science Foundation. You'll find more about the televised panel discussions on nanotechnology at www.powerofsmall.org. I'm Jeremy Shear, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science podcast.
We're at earthsky.org.